Hello everyone, and welcome to the first installment of Fourth Wall's Famous Firsts, where we're going to talk about comic creators' first works. I'm Freddie.
And I'm Art.
And if you want to check out the other podcasts, sidecasts, interviews, and all that other good stuff, go to our main site at breakthefourthwall.com. So for this first installment of Famous Firsts, we're going to talk about Kieron Gillen and Jamie McKelvey's Phonogram, Brew Britannia, and Jason Aaron and Cameron Stewart's The Other Side. So first up is Phonogram, Rue Britannia. This book confuses the hell out of me.
Me too.
But I'm going to try to give you faithful listeners a plot description as best I can. So if you remember seeing this on the shelves a few years ago with all the cool-looking kind of scene kids with their cool haircuts and the interesting Jamie McKelvey art and wonder what the hell it was all about, I'm going to try to describe it to you. So in the world of Phonogram, music is kind of like magic, and there are people that can manipulate this magic, and they're called phonomancers. And in particular, there's one phonomancer that we follow for this series named David Cole. So he can use music to kind of get girls to sleep with him, to get into clubs that he wants to get into, to just manipulate people's minds and things like that. And his favorite type of music is Britpop. And if you're saying to yourself, what the fuck is Britpop? Is that kind of like Linkin Park? No, it's not. Britpop... how about you? What do you say, Art? What are some popular examples of Britpop
people would know? Pulp.
Oasis.
Oasis. Blur. I would say probably the first couple albums of Radiohead. Kalula Shaker. Elastica.
And the list goes on.
And the on. Thank you for stopping me. Because that was it.
So that's his favorite kind of music, our protagonist, David Cole. And he kind of realizes that the genre is dying. It's not what it used to be. And so part of the book is kind of him trying to almost reinvigorate it, kind of, or like try to bring it back. But then he realizes it might not be the best idea to bring back the genre once it's dead. And the other part of the book is a ex-girlfriend of his who has died keeps reoccurring as a ghost on this bridge, or keeps reappearing, I guess I should say, as a ghost on this bridge. And the reason is because there's this band called Manic Street Preachers, and the singer, whose name was Ricky Edwards, had actually disappeared on the bridge. And to this day, no one knows what happened to him. Some people think he's dead. Some people think he's just missing. Mm-hmm. So she keeps reappearing on this bridge because she was, like, infatuated with the guy. And on the flip side of that, there's phonomancers, but there's also retromancers. And they're kind of the bad guys for this series. And why don't you kind of describe what the hell a retromancer is, Art?
They're, like, the simpler version of Britpop. Like, I think if Radiohead is, like, the future of it, then I think they're, like, the past. And it's, like, it's sort of like a Jets and Sharks, like, battle between the two. And they're David Cole's, I think, real villains, I think, in this book.
Yeah, he describes them as nostalgia parasites, where they only want to think about the old and nothing with the new. Mm-hmm. And so there's also that going on. There's a lot of stuff going on, and there's kind of a metaphysical journey that the character goes on toward the end of it with this guy who kind of looks like Elton John, but he's not Elton John. He's another British musician. What was his name, Art?
Luke Haynes, singer and songwriter of The Auteurs.
Yes. If you're familiar with that, you're cooler than me, because I'm not.
Yes!
But if you don't like Britpop, if you're not a huge fan, like I wasn't, I'm not a huge fan of Britpop, but if you're just a music lover in general, there's tons of references throughout this book for all different types of other bands, American bands and all different types. Afghan Whigs, Arctic Monkeys.
The Tigre, Iggy Pop, Henry Rollins.
Sex Pistols.
Buzzcocks.
Joy Division, all different kinds of stuff. If you're a music fan, I think you'll appreciate that. You'll at least appreciate. You might not like the book, but you'll at least get it, I think.
You'll be like, hey, name drop. Yes, I knew that.
Yeah, and you don't have to be familiar with all these different bands. There's a helpful glossary that's a 4-page glossary in the back of the book that really helps out a lot, not only with band names, but also with like lines of lyrics and locations and why they're important and stuff like that. Helped me out a lot. How about you, Art?
Yeah, I was I knew pretty much everything. Like, I knew the first lyric of Common People. I knew that stuff by heart. But I think if you don't, then hey, I got a glossary, and then hey, I got Wikipedia, hey, I got Google, hey, I got Yahoo, hey, I got... So...
And it's not all praise. Like, it's not about praising music. There's one band in particular called Kula Shaker that the protagonist, David Cole, absolutely hates for some particular reason.
Because they suck.
And throughout the whole book, it's a reoccurring joke. He just keeps talking about how they're terrible. And, yeah, but in summary, if you're a music fan, and you like comics, definitely pick this up. If you're
not
just a comic fan and you like some bands, but you don't really care about music history and all that, I'd say this book really isn't for you. It's for people that, you know, really have a passion for both, or at least for music. You don't have to, you know, if you don't like Superman, but you love Oasis.
I can't get enough of that Wonderwall.
Yeah. If you wish that Liam Gallagher would fight Superman and beat his ass, this book is for you. So the creators, Kieran Gillen and Jimmy McKelvey, this was pretty much their first like mainstream, or not mainstream, but first like big real comic they did. They had done some work together on PlayStation Magazine UK, and they did a series called Save Point, which is kind of a comic strips for gamers. And if you want to check that out, it's at kierangillen.com, and you go to the sidebar and you click on Print Comics, and you just scroll down, and right there it is, free of charge.
I like free.
Me too. More recently, Kieran Gillen has gone on to do New Universal 1959, which, if you know anything about that series, it's written originally by none other than Warren Ellis. And he has been shouting the praises of this series since the very beginning. And he even has a quote on the back. "One of the few truly essential comics of 2006. Read this or lose." So don't take our word for it. Warren Ellis says it right there. Read this or lose. So if you don't want to lose the game of life. Yeah, so there you go. But he's, New Universal. Kieran Gillen's gone on to do that. He also did a Warhammer series through Boom Studios called Crown of Destruction. And I'm sure it's really metal. I don't know. We're not going to read that. I'm sorry, Kieran Gillen, but...
Yeah.
But one thing I am going to read is his new sequel to Phonogram called Phonogram the Singles Club, which actually just came out this week. So some of the characters, David Cole and all his friends, Kid with Knife, his kind of sidekick through Rue Britannia, is going to show up in this. Like I said, only the first issues came out so far, so really not sure how much it's going to tie into the original series. But the new series is kind of a... They're all one-shots. It all takes place during the same night, and it's different people within the same club and how they're having, like, what their night is like. And so the first issue is this girl who's kind of a ditzy blonde, likes-to-dance chick, and she keeps on wanting to hear this song called Pull Shapes by the Pipettes, which kind of makes you... I actually Googled it, and it kind of makes you want to claw out your eyeballs a little bit, but... It's like a 50s doo-wop Spice Girls kind of thing, if you can imagine that. It's kind of what it reminded me of. But anyway, so that's out, so that's exciting. And it's in color. And Phonogram is black and white, so I don't know what it is, but McKelvey's art just seems to pop so much more when it's in color. I don't think he's doing the coloring on it. I don't know. He can draw a good-looking woman, I'll tell you that.
You're here.
And I don't know. What else? Would you got anything else to say about... Phonogram art?
I don't know. Like, it's a hard thing to recommend. I'm like, I have to be a little bit harsher on that because it is a different tale. It's a very unexpected story. Like, the first time I read it, I was like, whoa. I was taken aback. The name dropping helped, of course. It was like, hey, Echo and the Bunnymen. But at the same time, it's a very weird story. Like I said, it's hard to recommend because, like, I kind of liked it, and I think what helped me was I knew, like, every single band. If you're used to, like, superhero comics, I don't think you're going to really care for this thing.
I agree. Oh, I forgot to mention some more of Jamie McKelvey's work. He also did a series called Long Hot Summer with a writer named Eric Stevenson, and he's also did a book called Four Letter Words.
What's an anthology? writers and authors kind of work together on these four words. He did the one with Amber Benson, Buffy's Amber Benson.
Oh, I do know what you're talking about. But he's got his own creator-owned series that just finished up, and there's a trade of that out called Suburban Glamour, which we reviewed in one of the really early podcasts, and it was pretty good. The ending battle I was a little disappointed by, but it was like a 3-issue mini?
Four-issue
mini, whereas Phonogram was six issues, right? Yeah. So he didn't have really as long to tell that story. But it was in color and quite nice to look at. And so, yeah, and he also did a story for X-Men Divided We Stand, where he did a story with Nightcrawler. That was pretty cool, seeing him do superhero stuff, you know, after seeing him do Pixies and Indie Kids.
Hot Girls.
And,
yeah.
Hot Girls and stuff like that. It was cool to see him draw Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so right now he's got Phonogram Singles Club out.
Yeah. So, I heard he's supposed to do Cable, too, which is...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. He is doing Cable.
It's going to be very, very strange.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting. I'm excited.
Oh, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, it's like, dude, it's Cable.
Oh, and Kieran Gillen's supposed to be doing a origin story for Sabretooth next year sometime. Did you hear about that?
No. No, I didn't.
Yeah, supposed to have art by Dan Panosian. And, yeah, it's supposed to be badass origin for Sabretooth.
Woo!
Damn gritty. I don't know if it's going to be as gritty as that Warhammer stuff, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I think it comes out in February.
Mark my calendar right now.
Well, all right. So moving on. Next up, Jason Aaron and Cameron Stewart's The Other Side.
So this story is pretty much like a split between these two boys, Billy Everett and Bo Bingdi, as they go off to fight for the respective sides during the Vietnam War. We start with Billy, not officially because somebody dies, and then we're kind of led to Billy kind of being drafted in the war and seeing like what he does to kind of get out of it and like what does he do for Eddie?
Yeah, this is what hooked me into the book because it's a war book and I enjoy, you know, a war story as much as anyone else. But sometimes it's like, I've seen Full Metal Jacket, I've seen Apocalypse Now, I've seen Saving Private Ryan. How many more war stories do I really want to hear? And but it was Jason Aaron, so I wanted to read it. And once we got to like the third page where Billy Everett says, because he gets his draft notice, and he's trying to do anything he can to not get enlisted and to fight in the war. He says, we got four or five bona fide sluts in town, and when he got his draft notice, he screwed every one of them just praying he'd get some VD or some shit. Then the night before his physical, he got stinking ass drunk and puked on himself, and then even told the doctor that he was queer as all get out and would fuck every boy's ass he could get his hands on. But they still took me. And I just thought having one of the main characters be that, to go to that extreme to try to not fight in this war, was definitely going to be an interesting tale.
And it was. So we kind of go from that his kind of desperation kind of being kind of forced into this conflict. Then we go to Bo Bingdi, who I mentioned earlier, and he is just full-on volunteer. He is totally believes in the party line and what the North Vietnamese are pretty much telling him, and his parents are for it. Pretty much everybody is just for the war, and he's completely devoted to protecting his country. And so from there, we just kind of, it's a parallel. It's just every scene is just a parallel of the other scene. Like, it's just back and forth between Billy and Bo.
Yeah, and they both get their respective amounts of bad shit happening to them. On the side of Billy, he starts seeing dead people all around him, dead soldiers.
His gun starts talking.
His gun talks to him and says a bunch of weird shit, tells him to kill himself and all this. And he tries to report this to his, you know, superiors, and they're like, yeah, you're not getting out of this war. The only way you're getting out is, you know, go fight, and then maybe you'll be lucky enough to make it home or lucky enough to die, one or the other. That's the only way you're getting out. And then for Bo Bingdi, his half of his platoon or whatever you call it, his group of people he's fighting with, get blown up in an explosion, including the leader of his group. And so they're all pretty much lost, wandering around. And like some of the diseases and the way Jason Aaron describes, like, walking around in this jungle and, like, they can't shut their eyes, they can't sleep where the bombs are going off, they have, like, cuts in their legs and maggots start growing in them, and it's, like, really disturbing and really intense. And, yeah. So they both, neither one of them, ideal situation.
Yeah, that's pretty much what this is. I mean, it's just, this is war. And it's pretty fucking disturbing. And, you know... I always think about, like, reading these things and seeing all this stuff in the media, and it kind of reminds me back to, like, my old days, like, in high school, like, where everybody, like, after all 9/11 and stuff, and, like, all my friends were starting to, like, enlist, and I thought about it for, like a couple minutes or so. And by the way, if you are considering about joining the military service, just do Navy.
Well, Billy Everett's a Marine in this book, so.
Marines, Army, it's pretty much... your shell luck. Like, the Navy seems to be the best because it's like you'll be the best well adjusted, as opposed to those are like frontline positions. Marines even more so, you're the first ones to arrive. But I was just saying, like I'm just thinking about war and it kind of goes along with what you said, Freddie. Like, we've seen so many versions of kind of like the gritty realism of war. Like, there is no glorification of war anymore, not since, like, the days of World War II and those, like, Audie Murphy movies. Like, nobody makes those kind of movies anymore now. It's just Apocalypse Now, Platoon, Full Metal Jacket, all that. Full Metal Jacket especially because I think a cousin of Jason Aaron, the novel which inspired the movie, so, like, we have that tie there, too, so.
Mm-hmm. Gustav Hasford is his name. And he actually recommends, if you're a big fan of the comic, The Other Side, if you want to read further... you know, and kind of get where he was inspired from, to check out his book, which is out of print right now, but the book that inspired Full Metal Jacket, which the title of the book is escaping me right now, but, you know, it's on Amazon for like $50. I remember I looked it up just to see how much it cost, and yeah, it's like a 150-page book, $50, a little pricey. Hopefully it'll get put back into print, though.
That'll be spread out more and more. Audiences will be able to check that out.
It's called The Short Timers. There was a couple of, just a few moments in the book that I wanted to touch on right quick before we move on to what else Jason Aaron and Cameron Stewart's been up to. But the bleakness of this book is really, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like depressing, but also, it's like sheds light on things that you normally don't think about, I guess, kind of
how disgusting, like, drug usage actually is.
Yeah, like, I never think about things, and, like, there's some scenes where Vo Bing Dai is walking through and he sees this village that he thinks is going to be, like, helping him, supporting the cause and everything, and they're just like, they don't really give a shit about him. They're like, oh, go ahead, the war's that way, go fight your war. And they're making these people who have been traitors to the cause, the communists, dig their own graves and then get in them, and then they just shoot them all right there. And like, that's pretty fucked up. And some of the dialogue between Billy Everett and his superiors, that, like, he's telling them, you know, once you get back, you know, you're not going to be appreciated. Your country's not going to, you know, give a shit about you. You're not going to be, you know, there's not going to be no parades for you or anything, you know, fuck the rest of the world, fuck, you know, all these people, just, you know, all you need to do is have six people that you don't actually hate, and they'll be your pallbearers, the rest of the world, fuck them. And I just thought that's such a interesting way to look at life and death, like, get your six people to carry your grave, and then fuck everyone else, you know,
casket.
Or carry your
because your grave,
casket,
you really,
yeah, I just wanted to mention those in case, you know, it's, but yeah, this is it's you know, one book, not that expensive, $12.99 for the trade, and it's a hell of a story. And like we were saying, if you like Full Metal Jacket, this definitely has that same gritty tone to the
much.
Vietnam
and
War.
Like, I don't really want to slam Jason Aaron here, but, like, because this isn't really reinventing the wheel. I mean, like, this story has kind of been told so many times before in so many works of media, but. I don't do, like, I do like the other light shed on this. I mean, this is war. This war makes you do terrible things, and then it just kind of goes on from there. But I think you have to understand, if you are put into this position, you can't let it change you, who you are and what you believe. You have to somehow survive. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just weird watching this and just kind of watching 20th Century War, you know, the whole first because the other guy is pretty much willing to die. Because that's what Ming says. He wants to die for his country. And it's like, how do you fight a war based on that?
Right.
Where you shooting first because the other guy wants to shoot you, it's just one-sided, you know? It's just, and I don't understand it. It's just kind of, where do you go when you can't get out? That's, you know.
Another interesting thing is, when I first started to read this, I thought the other side was talking about the kind of side of the war when it says other side. But at the end of the book, you find out what the other side really means. I don't want to spoil it. It's people will go read it. But it's very thought-provoking. So anyway, so what else is Jason Aaron?
Jason Aaron's been ever since The Other Side and Scalped, his other DC Vertigo sort of tie-in, he's been like the talk of the town over Marvel about got him with allowed him to do like his Get Mystique arc for Wolverine. He actually did an arc earlier. It was he wrote a few sample pages for Wolverine 56 as part of this contest. Fred, you may know a little bit more about that.
Not really. I just know he wrote a few sample pages, and that was kind of his first thing that was going to be published. I don't know if it actually was published before The Other Side, but we're doing Famous first, and we went with Other Side, so if it's actually Wolverine 56, fuck you. You know, whatever.
Well,
we're doing
his
Other
first
Side.
Kind of sort of creator workings, you know, with Cameron Stewart. This is like his first big title, his first big break, so as opposed to those 8 pages. Probably damn good 8 pages, though. Yeah. Jesse will have to tell us
probably
about that. He also did Wolverine Manifest Destiny. He's been doing Ghost Rider since issue 20. Joker's Asylum Penguin, I think we all, probably one of the best stories in the whole Joker's Asylum. Yeah. Trade of that, I think, came out either.
Definitely.
I can't remember if it came out this week or last week, but it so it's out. And Secret
this
Invasion.
Week.
Yeah,
Punisher
which
X-Men special
last week, and Secret Invasion Black Panther. I think if he should write anything, I really want him to start writing Black Panther, but I think he's going to write Punisher Max instead. That's the rumor.
That's the rumor. So what about
Cameron
Stewart?
Co-founder of the Royal Academy of Illustration Design back in his home of Canada, which sounds really freaking sweet. But then it's just, but there's some other stuff he's been doing. He's been doing a lot of art with like the PRD runs, Cat and Hellblazer, Matt and Guardy guy. He's been working a lot with, Grant Morrison. Tales of the Vampires, he did a little thing with Josh Wheaton, Transmet with Warren Ellis, and lately he's been doing the Apocalyptics. Sex it.
Apocalyptics. Yeah. If you like Josh Wheaton's,
you can read the
shot,
first 50 pages three. Come
you'll
on.
Love the Apocalyptics.
How cool is that?
Yeah, that's 50-5-0. It's not
the
like all those other
that
series where it's like read the first 5 pages free. The hell, we're giving you fucking first graphic novel, motherfuckers. So yeah, and in a side note, Cameron Stewart actually traveled to Vietnam to get the inspiration for the art in this series to kind of do some research and see what it actually looks like. And there's a probably like a 6-page little diary from him also in the back of the trade. So you're really getting your money's worth here with this book. And to get some nice photos of from his journey to Vietnam, and he talks about how certain parts of it are Americanized and how he goes out into rural parts of it where there's people just living in houses made of bamboo and he's riding on a motorcycle with this guy and feels like he's going to die. And it's a pretty entertaining read. Usually I'm not one that reads like all the supplemental material on books, you know, I'll like kind of glaze over it and be like, oh yeah, whatever. But the fact that he actually flew to Vietnam and, you know, went all throughout the country looking at everything. Yeah, it's pretty damn interesting.
Yeah.
Well, there are some comic book donation programs that are out there to send comic books to the troops. Do you know about any of those, Art?
I know a few. I think the most notable one that I know of is one created by our friends at a comic shop at Winter Park, Florida. It's called Operation Sequential Art, and if you mail them or go to the store and just buy, you can either buy comics from the store or just send some comics directly to them, and they will send them to the troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. And I commend them.
And that's www.opsequart.com. OpSecArt.
Yep.
Operation Sequential Art. So there should be a link somewhere around this
this new podcast.
Link for this podcast that you're listening to. So click on that if you don't feel like figuring out what the hell I was just saying. So yeah, that about wraps it up for this first installment of Famous Firsts. If you want to hear more podcasts, like I said, check out our main site at www.breakthefourthwall.com. If you want to subscribe to us, you can do so via iTunes or via RSS reader or many different ways. There's a little button on the side of the main site, so do that. You can be our friend at MySpace. I believe Jason Aaron is our friend and Jamie McKelvey too, so why aren't you? And myspace.com/fourthwallpodcast. And so that about does it. I hope you've enjoyed the first Famous Firsts, and there'll be more to come. So look for it. I'm Freddie.
And I'm Art.
Peace out.